This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to ILTA's Summer 2016 Ask the Expert podcast series, where we're focusing on the future. I'm Christy Cole with ILTA, and I'm speaking with Ken Grady, lean law evangelist for Seyfarth Shaw LLP. Seyfarth has won many awards for their innovative project work, and we're excited you could join us, Ken.
Thanks, Christy. Great to be here.
We all agree we need to work more efficiently. What future-focused technology could most improve efficiencies in legal?
I think there are three areas that are going to be these emerging areas right now that will drive a lot of efficiency. And I always preface when I talk about technology, the very first thing that I think anybody or any organization should do is understand their processes, learn their processes, and focus on removing waste from processes, since I'm the lean thinker guy. But once you've gone down that path, there are really three areas that I think are going to be somewhat the emerging ones that will drive a lot of this future. The first is computational linguistics, which sounds really fancy if you're not familiar with the area. And it's somewhat what it sounds like. It's being able to take text and actually analyze the text at what's called a semantic level. So going beyond simply looking at the words and understanding that the words have meaning when placed in juxtaposition to one another and what that meaning is, it's a very challenging area for law in particular, but we've certainly seen improvements in the area over the years. It's an area of focus now. It will be an area of focus going forward, and as we can really understand text, as we can look at two clauses and understand them at a deeper level, we will really start to be able to use this massive information we have stored in servers and law departments and law firms. The second area is what I call a common platform, and the easy way to think about this is an SAP for legal. If you think about the tools that we use in technology today in law departments and law firms, they're all essentially on their own platforms. Sometimes they use a more common one like SharePoint, but a lot of them are still on their own platforms and are ones, therefore, that are difficult to interconnect. For those who have worked in law departments, they may be familiar with SAP, which is one of several platforms that's very common in the financial area. And the benefit of having a single platform that lawyers in law firms and lawyers in law departments and third-party vendors and others can work off of is it starts to make things interoperable. So a law department can work with many law firms without having to go on to different systems. You can go into one system and access different rooms. Same with law firms working with many clients. We don't have that yet. There's some movement towards that. I think that's going to be something of a significant change for the industry. The third one is blockchain technology. And you know, by now, everybody who's anybody has heard about blockchain, and in particular, Bitcoin. And when I'm talking about blockchain, I'm not talking about Bitcoin. I'm talking about the underlying technology, the trustless environment that can be used for companies to start shifting things like contracts into smart contracts. So going from a paper intermediary-based system to a more technology non-intermediary-based system where a computer is talking to computer. So lease payment is due on vehicle X, computer on the other side can look in its coded contract to see when the payment is due, what the payment is, whether the payment was received. If it wasn't received, it can implement remedial or default actions. And that starts taking a lot of the intermediary decision-making, paper handling type of process out of the system. Those three areas all have significant opportunity to accelerate the efficiency in the practice of law, each on its own. And certainly as they start combining, we have blockchains on common platforms. We have the ability to use computational linguistics, not just within an environment like a law firm, but across environments. I think we're going to really see efficiency accelerate.
When we talk about the introduction of technologies like artificial intelligence, what changes might staff anticipate?
When we start moving from where we have been, which is thinking about documents just as documents. It's a piece of paper with a lot of text on it, whether in digital form or paper form. There isn't a lot that we have been able to do so far with those documents because all of the words and numbers that are sitting in that document really don't have any meaning. The computer is told, show me a capital A or show me a number sign or show me a 5. So the past has been really not about understanding the words on the page in a very simplistic form. As we go forward, what we will need to do, and we are already seeing this in some ways, is take that text, break it down into data, and so be able to look at that, as I mentioned with computational linguistics, in a very substantive, meaningful, semantic, understanding way, so that first the staff who are dealing with it now look at this textual information in a very different way. And the important part of that is tying that data in with other data available to the world. So we have this movement called open data science, where we see things like data.gov, where the government is posting online various data sets that it has available. And of course, through the World Wide Web, we can get all sorts of other data sets to use. When you start thinking about text as data and have it in a form that you can manipulate as data, you can then compare it, combine it, and use it with other data sets that are available to you. In the past, librarians or keeper of the documents, to the future, legal data scientist or keeper and manipulator of the data, being able to take this textual data that they now can have the computer understand, combine it with data from other sources, and start mining that for deeper insights. Do we see patterns? Do we see correlations? Do we see connections that start allowing us to do things more substantively, predictive analytics? But for the staff's viewpoint, that means really understanding data science and being able to use and manipulate this information.
So if you're not on board with data being important, it sounds like now is the time.
Now is definitely the time. If you look at where the world has moved, and sort of the big three to mention are Google, Amazon, and Facebook. They're very powerful, very influential corporations, and that is in part because each of them has built and continues to build these massive data sets that they can use for, you know, for good or bad, but for a variety of purposes. And so what people recognize today is that building the data set, having that data set, makes it hard for the next organization to come along and replicate the data set or be able to do some of the things an organization can do that has that data. And so if you're Google, it's going to be hard for the next Google to come along and build that data set, and the same for the other parties. We haven't seen that happen yet in law. We have seen some of the legal publishers who certainly have very large data sets. We recently saw an acquisition by one of the publishers that gave it access to a very important data set in the legal area. But companies and law departments have not learned yet, or are just learning, how to treat that information sitting on their servers as valuable data, as the gold of the future, and say, what do we really have here? What does it really mean? And how can we really use that in a powerful way, that asset, in a powerful way to accelerate the business of our organization?
Absolutely. I'm moving on to a little bit of a lighter note. What's the strangest technology you've come across recently?
You know, I don't come across what I'll call strange technology that often, which I suppose is maybe good or bad, but the technology that I hear from entrepreneurs, and I talk to them every week and hear about new products out there, tends not to be strange, at least in the legal industry. What I see all too often in the legal industry, and I think others have mentioned this in various ways recently, is that we're not getting the true innovative, real breakthrough, real changing type of technology developments that we were hoping to see. And that, to a little bit, is happening, or maybe even to a great extent, is happening outside the legal industry as well. One of the writers for Fortune magazine who follows the tech industry recently commented that he's tired of Silicon Valley's innovation story, which seems to be another creative way to do a selfie or another way to chat with somebody else. And he's not seeing any really breakthrough innovative apps out there. I have seen what I'll call a lot of silly technologies. And these silly technologies are people who look at what we do today and then seem to come up with a silly or what I'll describe as a non-value-added way to do the same thing over again. One of the sillier ones that I was told about recently was an application where the user would have two documents, the original and a changed version, and needed to compare the two documents. And the proposal was that this user would send the two documents attached to an email to a third-party service, which would compare them, provide a red line, and then send the documents back to the user. And, of course, this was going to be done automatically, so the third-party service would just get the documents, redline them, and send them back. And I started going through with this entrepreneur who was not from the legal industry. It was a tech person. You know, what we already have and how we actually have some tools that are easier, faster, secure because they're sitting on your computer to do things. And he was adamant that this was going to be a breakthrough in really creative technology in the legal industry and solve all sorts of problems. So we get sort of what I call silly ideas like that that come up frequently and aren't really showing that the legal industry is being innovative.
We have time for one more question. How can IT leaders create future-focused communities within their organizations?
One of the biggest things that the IT leaders could do and need to take the charge on is tech literacy. Today, in law firms and law departments and areas of the industry other than the tech entrepreneurs themselves, we have an amazingly low level of tech literacy, and the same is true in government organizations. Just at a conference where the individual from the government who is in a very senior legal role of an organization that deals with tech all the time was talking about this issue, as was his counterpart who was the legal leader of the tech area at a major corporation. And they were both explaining how within their legal organizations, tech literacy was incredibly low. And so what I mean by tech literacy will sound very fundamental, but the lawyers could not explain what the internet is or how it works at a basic level. They couldn't explain what happens when you send an email, what actually happens when you hit send, what occurs that makes the email you just wrote end up in the inbox on somebody else's office. In an era where cybersecurity is of increasing importance, where this ability to understand, manipulate, combine, and use data is increasing importance, IT leaders should really be working with the appropriate individuals in their organizations, in my opinion, to develop this tech literacy through programs. These two leaders I spoke to started running programs in their organizations that were, what is the internet for lawyers? What is email for lawyers? And going through a number of these areas. And by building that tech literacy, it becomes more familiar. It's less the scary thing that lawyers don't understand. It has less mysticism about it. And so as these incremental improvements and large improvements come along, people will not be as afraid to try them because they'll have a better understanding. The word cloud just conjures up all sorts of strange images for people where they just really don't have a clue what we mean when we're talking about cloud computing or cloud services. And that, I think, makes it incumbent upon the tech leaders in organizations, you know, let's run a program. Let's explain to you what this is so it's no longer that big mystery sitting out there. Building that tech literacy is going to become not just a good to have, but one of the core competences that any well-run legal organization will have going forward.
That's some wonderful food for thought. Well, so that brings us to our time to an end. I'd like to thank our listeners and encourage them to listen to ILTA's other podcasts on this topic. And Ken, this has been great. Thank you so much for sharing your insight.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.